not Bharata without Nirasa. Unless the new one is such a self. One of the adabs that Jesus showed. See the namaz. The imam finished the namaz. So Asr and Fajr, what he does? Turns around. Why turns around? There's two reasons. One is ishtibahukum. What do you mean? He's going to face the Qibla. If the person is coming, right? What do you think? He thinks that the Imam is turning namaz. So, to clear the doubt, we turned away when the namaz is over. And the second, he says, istibar, istibarukum. Your back is facing towards the people. Your back, not back. Once you're performing namaz, then there was a need for you to stand in that posture. Namaz is over now, is there a need that you should be standing behind? Istibarukum. Respect of a mu'min, like how you respect the Kaaba Sharif. The Kaaba Sharif is here. Then would you sit with your back facing the Kaaba Sharif? So the iman in his heart is greater than the Kaaba Sharif. So like your back will not face the Kaaba Sharif, your back will not face the Qom. So unless there is a need now, where you have to perform namaz in Jamaat, then it's a different thing, it's a need. Need over now? No. Sit differently. So the same applies here as well. Let's see how many have understood what I said. Well, it can come front, but this is you don't have to make istibar. The small point from on the side. Smaller point. Adab. Then he will explain the verse of the Quran Sharif, the soft part is. So the Safati Sassan can have three meanings. Allah Tasufuna Tamata Suful Malaikatu in Darbin. Stand well arranged in rows, like the Malaika stand well arranged in their rows. In the case of the Sufuna, how do they stand? Within Mustafal Oval. Well arranged. See what is well arranged. This is well arranged. Is this well arranged? You can, إذا قيل لم تفسه, then they space and space out. You have to sit. I told my Yusuf to check the hadith. He would say that if the plot was spread over them, it would cover all of it. So that hadith applies to when they were in jihad. Why it applied? It applied because I mean jihad, right? You spread out them, you don't have to sit like this. Spread out. Sit nicely there, sit like this. Spread out. But you can't change the posture. You spread out. You can't sit nicely. Spread out a bit. When you fold your legs, you can fold your legs. You can change your posture, you can change your posture. So now, when did the hadith come? The hadith came when they're making qailula. see Ashta. It's mid-moon. Now, imagine now it's the hot sun in Arabia, right? Day 15. So, all would like to be under some tree to enjoy the shade. So, to get that now, or spread out. If one is sitting lying that side, one is on this side, one is in front, one is behind. So, there is a din like this. Why din like this? Because like today, then too, the world wasn't free of robbers. This jamaat of robbers, they carry on. They come. Robbers, fighters, kill and loot. So you get that type of person, right? So now imagine you are 20, 30 meters away. These are 20 meters away. So you can finish him up and run away, and nobody will know. So he's on that side, and he's still sleeping. Now, if you're all together, one place, one spot, right, then he will himself be apprehensive, once we are together. So when we are together, then I mustn't take a chance. It's a deterrent. And this was the time which was told that if a cloth was spread over them, then it would cover them. Now that hadith, everywhere you go, it applies, being close together, close, close, close. And then, when you change your posture, and all, you can't. If Aqeela comes the first sahu, when you're told, spread out. And spread out nicely, be relaxed. And that next person, you'll be considerate to him. And if Aqeela lakum shuzu, farshuzu, if you ask to get up. Sometimes what happens, this is the adab of the majlis. وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَكُمْ شُذُوا فَانْشُذُوا يَرْفَعِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ دَرَجَاتٍ. Now, say, we're having a majlis in a room like this. So, there were five people, and they were seated. So now, another 10 or 15 people came, and they're also very important. So, all of them can't be jammed up in that place. But to have an audience with them is also important. So this jamaat that was there, they enjoyed, they already took the benefit. So they are asked now to leave, stand up and leave. فَإِذَا قِيلَ لَكُمْ شُزُوا فَانْشُزُوا. When you're asked to stand and leave, then leave. Stand or move away, give space. Then you will give them space, give them. Because you had an audience now, and they need to have an audience. See the our deen now, what were things it taught us. Now, again, the Quran Sharif consoles that first jamaat. The first jamaat, in the small room, the first small jamaat. Small jamaat, jamaat of five, right? So, they will feel somewhat uncomfortable, be asked to leave. So Allah Ta'ala comforts them saying, يَرْفَعِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ. Allah Ta'ala is not a small thing. You ask to leave, so Allah Ta'ala will elevate your status. He will elevate you. See that? So, these finer aspects of adab, they bring about the beauty in deen. أَلَا تَصُفُّونَ كَمَا تَصُفُّ الْمَلَائِكَةُ. And you think to yourself, if they were seated, just seated, then too they would have benefited, right? They were sitting without any tarteeb, without any other. There was no order in the sitting. They sat down. They would have benefited, right? But Allah Pak would like it in this way, soft party, soft fun, sit well arranged. So if there is a need to be a distance, you keep a distance. Right. There's a need to be near, then you'll be near now. See, it's so far away. So if there's a need to be far, then you keep a distance. If there isn't a need to be far, keep close. What's the need to keep so far? Don't squeeze yourselves and not unsolicited path. And when you ask to get up, then you must get up. يَرْفَعِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ دَرَجَاتٍ. People of knowledge. So, that's a, it's like an allude, it's alluding that people of knowledge and people of understanding, they will behave differently. Feel it. People of knowledge, they are expected to understand things better, right? لِيَلِنِّي مِنْكُمْ الْأَحْلَامِ وَالْمِنْبَاءِ. Those people of knowledge and understanding, they must be closer to me. People of knowledge and understanding, they should be close to me. So now, this is namaz, and out of namaz as well, more in namaz, but out of namaz as well. So, why? Those people of understanding and knowledge be close. Why? Because the person of understanding and knowledge, he grasps things better. He grasps the concepts better. Now, you imagine that if you have, I'm talking at this level, and you have children at 4 years of age, will they grasp what I'm saying? So when they can't grasp, now the speaker, what happens to him? Can there be the flow? The flow is impeded. Why is it impeded? Because you put four-year-old children here. Right? When this two small children, so they won't grasp. When they're not going to grasp, then the flow also is affected. Now, the speed of understanding, so the speaker also feels easy to speak, is a flow, and he's open. So you can see now, all right, people are understanding. See, Allah tasuffuna kama tasufful malaika, and إِذَا قِيلَ لَكُمْ تَفَسَّحُوا فِي الْمَجَالِسِ فَفَسَّحُوا يَفْسَحِ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ وَإِذَا قِيلَ انْشُذُوا فَانْشُذُوا يَرْفَعِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ دَرَجَاتٍ. This adab and this etiquette is for every situation. If this adab, this etiquette, then it brings about color, it brings about beauty, adab. You came to the masjid, but you didn't brush your teeth. So, how does the next person feel? They feel comfortable. Yesterday, someone has explained that he comes from somewhere, northern Natal, something like that. So, one old man is asking this alim, and this alim is asking him the same question. He says that I'm old, 85, 90, so I can't do the postures. I have to sit on the chair. Now, the old man's question is this, that I'm sitting on the chair and people are standing beside me. So now, I'm getting the smell of the armpits. Now, to avoid getting that bad smell, can I just read in my mind, you know? So I'll keep my breath and I'll avoid the smell. Understand? But now you see, it makes it difficult for that person to concentrate in the namaz while the person is not observing the adab, etiquette. So therefore the hadith says, come into the masjid and all clean yourself with all bad smell. Any offensive smell from your mouth or from your body, bodily offensive smell. That's why someone asked Ibn Abbas the Rahma, the ghusl on the Jummah, is it for us? The first day we're told to have a bath and then come. So it's not for us, but how great it was, how it started off, the ghusl, importance of it, and why it was so much emphasized in the early days. He says, Masajiduhum kana al arish. The masjid kya tha? Wo chappar the. Like a thatched, you know, thatched roof, low ceiling, right? So that was the masjid. Then there were no windows and doors and all, like how we have nowadays, like so many windows, doors, etc. So they went to windows and doors like now. Now, there's no windows, there's no doors, and people are coming in for namaz. Juma namaz is midday, right? Just after Zohar. Right? Then the clothing was sheepskin, below the poverty line. So that was the clothing. So now, if they, in that state, if they perspire, what happens? Right? It would seem like the place is full of goats or sheep. Only sound there. Right? So under that circumstance, we were told that first have a ghusl and then come. And try and keep one set of clothing just for Juma. So that you are sitting in a congregation, right? In a congregation, then you're not supposed to be hurting anybody. Just explain this person. See, so this is where it started off. The ghusl, put one pair of clothing for this occasion, so that you come into the masjid, and then nobody is hurt. But then, as time progressed, they went on to Uthman Ibn Adiyah's time, then the masjid was well constructed. Right? It did up very well, the ceiling was very high. Then people had that affluence and wealth, so they didn't have to wear that type of clothing. So these were the three things that existed. And the fourth thing was, they used to do hard work, onerous work. You know, like taking on bundles, etc., taking on their backs, transporting it. So they were doing hard work. So that hard work, then the perspiration comes even more. Right? So that can be perceived now when you get into the masjid. So now all these factors were considered. Now, in the Khanqa, this is normally done. See? What is done in the Khanqa? The Khanqa does several things to you. But one of the main things is to correct your reasoning, understanding, perception. It corrects it. But then provided, the one is coming with a focus and with a concern. So the idea is you come with a focus and a concern. Then the Khanqa does too much for you. But then if you don't come with a focus or concern, or the concern is incorrect, it's not right. Say someone comes here, I'll come here because there's company here, so my Ramzan will go well. You will not say that you will not benefit, but you didn't come with the right intention. But if you came here, right, came to get his focus right, to get his thinking right, to get his behavior right, to get his understanding of being right, now he'll look at things differently. My understanding of being must be right, my focus must be right, my concentration must be right, and you should get these things right. He comes now with a different intention. Now to work with that person is easy. Then it becomes the duty of the sheikh then to correct the person. Otherwise, the sheikh will be failing in his duty. See, the patient came, so the doctor can see that his eye is not right. Optician can see that his eye is not right, but he's not pointing out his mistake. What will you say? The optician didn't do his duty. The optician uses machines in order to see what is the strength of the eye, what is the kind of the eye. But now he didn't point out to the patient that this is your problem. I'll ask you, that is he doing his duty? Not doing his duty. So the same here, then it becomes the duty of the sheikh to point out the mistake, the weakness. If he didn't do it, then that's qiyamah, that means he didn't fulfill. So now look how things happen. That concern, that fikr, how you're supposed to be sitting. So in the Khanqa in Thanabon, from a different Khanqa, but to open our mind, to make us understand. So a new group of people came. So a group of people came, newcomers, they all made Musafa. Now, in the Safad, there's another, but four other to understand. You don't shake out like this. And you don't squeeze out all the buzurugi from him. Sometimes you're squeezing the hand. Sometimes when you make a mu'anaka, you're squeezing the person. You must know that you're squeezing one person. If 100 people are squeezing the other, then there would be a need to make malish after. You're squeezing all the barakat out of him. Right? Understand now what you're doing. Why is that this? Right? Number two is that you don't squeeze the person. Right? Number three, there's no fixed rule on the right, left, or there's no fixed rule. Right? Number four, Hazrat Ramadan used to say, at least this should be in the mind. This should be in the mind. Not that it's the matlab, but it's in the mind. The handshake is what? Handshake is as though you're trying the person sub-mouth. What? Shook hands. We shook hands at this. What you are saying? Passing the message now, sub-mouth. Everything is mouthed. Right. Whatever happened, happened now, but we made everything mouth. End of the story. Right. So if there's no coming out, that means what was intended didn't come out. You just shook hands. What? It was just a surface spectacle of a clean heart or a good relationship. In the surface it looks like a good relationship. But is it a good relationship? Not a good relationship. The handshake is to show a relationship. But the relationship is to show that we have a good understanding, right? But now, I'm shaking your hand, but there's malice in the heart, there's ill feelings in the heart. Have you acquired what you're supposed to be acquiring at the handshake? Then he would say, that is musafaha. Now, the other is mu'anaka. Mu'anaka is, you hug the person, simple, embrace the person, hug the person. So, what is expected of a mu'anaka? From the musafa, what is expected is sub-maf, everything is mafed. And mu'anaka, what is expected? The mu'anaka, what is expected of the mu'anaka is that dil saf, what? Because your hearts are touching, isn't it? When you're making, when you're embracing, the hearts are touching. So what do you want to imply? You want to imply that my heart is mafed. My heart is clean. So as though the mu'anaka and musafa is saying sub-maf, dil saf. Sub-mafe and dil-safe. See the adab. And what it does, the absence of that adab, what happens? Now, the adab, everybody is considerate, very, very considerate. I'm showing you now, this person is coming into the khanqa in Tanabur. Right? So, they are making musafa. Now, one person was residing at the khanqa, was already there, for about 2 weeks, he also came to make musafa. So Hazrat had to correct him. He says, these are newcomers. So there was a reason for them to make musafa. But you are here, and you are here for 2 weeks. When you are for 2 weeks, what was the need for you to come make musafa? So he says, Din me shok alaya. I had a certain a desire. So he says, see, you're not here for 1 day, you're here for two weeks. In all these 2 weeks, there was no desire that came in. The desire just sprung up dust. See, he's correcting. He's correcting. But you sit here and you understand discipline, understand manners, understand etiquette. Right? Now, these people have come in, right? And you behave like this, right? And because of your misbehavior, I had to correct you, right? But now, does it look right? I'm telling you something in front of all these people that have come here and they are new. Does it look right? Does it look right? See, this new people are coming here and I'm shouting you. Does it look right? Then I'll be looking bad. Because, hey, newcomers here, say, man here, any small thing and he'll catch you for it. the impression that that's created, you see. But now, if you think well, then you won't make these mistakes. So that's why you should say the process of Islah is not difficult. It is the process of Islah requires just two steps. The one step is ta'ammul, think. How you think? You think. What will be the immediate consequence, short-term consequence, long-term consequence? This lesson my mother taught me. So how many times she told us? Tan vichar. You have three thoughts before you say anything or do anything. And she learnt it from who? From her friend. Her friend was this. You know, Chodamada's family. And Chodamada's family learnt it from her brother. Who was her brother? Ilyas's mother. No, Ilyas's father. So you see the chain, I'll show you the sermon. So my mother's friend is telling her that it was my wedding day. And my brother is telling me that Tan Vichar Karwana. But if you're doing anything or say anything, must have three times you reflect. Don't just do things spontaneously. But think thrice before you do anything. She's thinking to herself. That time the wedding was small now. You don't think now she was sitting in Orient Hall and the brother Kabir telling her that all. That time the wedding was small, simple in the house. So for him to go to his sister was easy, rather than difficulty. You think, hey, my happy day in my life, and this man is telling me three thoughts. What is that telling me? And she said it took me about 20 years to understand the depth of what he was saying. And how much of trouble, problems I get myself free from it if I think. Immediate response, short-term response, and long-term response. She's not hurting anybody physically. This one here, a shaking of hand. So it was not a physical hurt. It wasn't any hurt. It was emotional. It was an emotional pain. So the person that is in the khanqa, he's so considerate that he won't even bring any type of emotional pain. It's my habit when I'm leaving, even for a small work. So I'll tell them I'm going here. And this is the expected time. Maybe sometime if it's near, I won't tell it. All right, this is the expected time for returning. And if it's a long journey, then you say, all right, I'm going now. And this is the expected time of return. So now, when you say that, then the person that you're talking to, the family or the children, how do they feel? They feel comfortable. They feel relaxed. But you don't say anything. Just go. This comes, I say, are you bringing emotional pain or not? Are you bringing emotional pain or not? So you see being considerate. You're doing something, but you're considerate. Now, this is that khanqa, this is that aligning of the thought, the straightening of the thoughts. All the creases that are in your thought, you're getting it aligned, you're getting it right. The creases, all the potholes in your thought, you're getting it all aligned, getting it straight. And then you feel so relaxed. At home, yourself, the people are so considerate, then you feel so relaxed. Depending on the change of the season, right? You will now read the Fajr Namaz, when the late Ishraq, read Ishraq Namaz and go rest. So now, depending on the change of the season, I may come a little earlier home. I will see them resting. So, I can have an attitude. The boss is around now. Get up. That will be the message, right? What I normally do, say, in India we used to prepare tea also, make rice also, on a primus. We didn't have to have a stove to make rice, we should do it. India used to do all these things, yeah? If I could do it, why can't I do it here? some little, you know, just tea, a little bit of toast, whatever you need for that time. Do that, enjoy yourself. So you enjoyed yourself without hurting anybody. Now, if you got the person up by coughing or getting the person up, they will get up. But I ask you, are you causing them pain? See this. It's emotional pain. Now, you don't realize that you do this, that tomorrow there will be someone to hurt you as well. And if you are gentle, considerate, then people also will be considerate towards you. They'll be understanding, they'll be considerate, they'll be humble, they'll be good towards you. But she's saying it took me about 20 years to understand this, the depth of what you're saying. So now, I understand, alright, if I have a certain response now, I may just throw everything out of my chest and throw it up, finish. But then tomorrow I will have that remorse, hey, but why did I have to behave in this manner? Was it the right behavior? Then after a month or something, yeah, but I did it's a terrible thing. I could have overcome this in a more pleasant and more respectable, more dignified manner. But why did I have to show this type of a behavior? And those thoughts would run in my mind, yeah, no, he deserves it. And the next thought will say, but was that the right thing to do? One thought will say, he deserves it. And the next thought will say, but he didn't deserve that. So your mind be at ease. But if you are thinking, you are considerate, and you will overcome it. Now, as it says, this has to be disciplined and corrected. The correction of the thought doesn't come overnight, doesn't come just one day. That also requires some time. Because every way don't know how to apply a concept. It's a concept and it's a way to apply the concept. Now, so how I understood this, that everybody doesn't know how to apply the concepts. One person wrote up to me that he's traveling by train with his wife and children. So on the platform, he saw someone selling peanuts or something, right? It was a nice cold day, and I saw the peanuts, you know, it was just on the fire, and he's selling it. It was very tempting. So I jumped off the train, and I bought the peanuts. Now, after I bought the peanuts, now, I think to myself, you know, but Hazrat Tom must think, mustn't do things spontaneously. Was my niyat right? Did I think right? In the meanwhile, the train pulled out. See now, the reason to interact, to ask, to refer, inquire. Now he's pareshan on the platform. Wife and children are pareshan. They are on the train. They know what's going on. Now, in some things, right? If you made the first mistake, you just have to just cover up quickly, and then correct your intention. If you made a mistake, right? So you just have to cover up, do the immediate, and then correct yourself. And if you don't do that, then you'll bring additional pain. See now, he didn't think, and he went and bought, right? And then number two is this, now he's made his wife and children pareshan because he's on the platform and the train has already moved on. So you see the need to refer, to find out, to understand, to consult. I tell the people sometimes, you come when there's an accident. No accident, they don't come. Because we wait for the accident to come. So then they come and consult. Hey, you know, this one, I have it either this one here, or that one, why, whatever else. Or when there's an accident, they come and ask. And pre-accident, they won't ask. So how you will know? You have to understand, refer, learn, apply, consult, then it comes right. The whole thought process, understanding, seeing things. See this thought, how important it is. Almost Hani Sahib Rahmatullahi, he is in his final stages. Already 80, he must have passed on at around 83 or something like that. His final stages and become very weak, extremely weak. In that weakness, now sometimes you get a bout of dizziness. So he went to the toilet. Right. In those days, the system was the jug, right, was kept in one central spot. So you would take the water, go to the toilet, and then when you return, you keep the jug in that central spot. Because they didn't have taps at that time. So from the central spot, they'll fill the water, then go to the toilet, and when they finish, they'll bring the water and leave it at that spot. So that the second person or the third person wants to go to the toilet, he finds the jug easily, and he can also, now this is when he's over 80, right? He's getting the spells of dizziness, and as he's come from the toilet, he turned the toilet and got the dizziness, and he just fell. As he fell, right, came back, and he came and lied down. As he lied down, he thought to himself, you know what, I fell down, and the jug was in my hand, and I didn't replace it where it's supposed to be placed. Even in gender disorder, وَأَكْوَابُ مَوْضُوعًا, isn't it? وَأَكْوَابُ مَوْضُوعًا. Those utensils, cups, etc. are placed in their proper places. Now you see students, they got the kitab, they're living by the wudu khana, some are living on top here, some are living outside. The jacket, leaving it here, there. So is that the right thing? Is that the right thing? So you've got a designated spot. You don't feel difficult, that next person doesn't feel difficult. You feel easy, he feels easy. Place a thing for common use, then the thing that is for common use, then understand three things. I'm going to use it, so we'll ask somebody else. I must be comfortable, the next person will be comfortable. Because it's meant for common use. When it's meant for common use, then everybody must be comfortable. It's supposed to be shared commonly, five people here. You saw eight pieces of chalk, right? So you dished out three. Because now eight pieces, right? How many people? Five people. So others can have one, I'll have three. Is that thinking right? Is the thinking right? The thing is not right, it's off. The thinking is off. The Muslim thing is, يُسِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. That person must get something better than what I get. I must get, but he must enjoy more than what I will enjoy. And the least thing could be done is the chop was passed, just take one piece and leave it. And don't keep staring now. The next person is eating the thing or not. They don't want to eat it. Maybe they don't need it. I need it, so I'll take it. That's another way to think, you see. To your convenience. You know, in court they say balance of convenience. But balance of convenience, now you took three pieces, you know, the others they don't want, not eating. Not realizing that they left the piece, that extra piece, just out of consideration. Right? Not because they don't need it. Like you need it, they need it. But they have some respect and dignity, so they took one piece and they left the two pieces. You consider it. So, then people respect you, they love you. So, you know, this man here, he's considerate. When he's sitting jointly, then he sits, he calculates his understanding. It's going to be easy to work with him. A small thing, but you'll understand that it's going to be easy to work with him. And if he doesn't, then it's going to be difficult. It's going to be uphill working with him. He doesn't think. He doesn't reason. He doesn't understand. He just thinks spontaneously, he doesn't reason properly. So things of common use. So to be considerate. Number two is then one is you just take what is required. Number two is this, it is a thing of convenience of common use, then you just use it as per your need. Don't overdo it. As per your need, use it. Now, you've got a wuzu khana. Right? Wuzu khana. You can see on a Jummah or some namaz, there is a whole line of people waiting to make wuzu. Now you're sitting on the seat and making miswak. Nicely, 4 minutes, because you know the sawab for the miswak. But did you consider that there's a whole line of people waiting? You also need to make miswak. They also need to make wuzu. Right. So you were not considered to have been. The right thing was, while standing, you should have made the miswak. You came and sat and leave your wudu quickly and let the next person come in straight. Now that is when you think, you apply yourself, and let it happen. Otherwise, he is not at all considerate. Someone says, hey, he sent a proposal for my daughter, but he doesn't have any consideration. What will he do to my daughter as well? One Molana completed, so he was going for 1 year. Came back, so are you going to be working? Which date? All right. What's your age? 22. Wife? 16. MashaAllah. So now, you're going to be doing your 40 days and 3 days here. So, in Free State, where are you going to be staying? In the Imam's quarters. The next house, how far? It's about 30 meters. But when you're going for your 3 days, where are you going to be? No, at a friend's place. So every month, now he got stumped. Because 1 month, 2 months, friend may not mind. 1 month, all right. So he went in Jamaat, they held him out. But after that, they also got some need to go shopping here, there, and all that. So they find it difficult. Or the issue, whatever else, they find it difficult. Then you're going to be going for Shab Guzari, etc. And you're coming here at that time of the night. With all what's going on, like hijacking, kidnapping, all that, how she'll feel? She's 16, 17 years of age, how she'll feel? It's consideration. Think, how the next person is going to feel? Imagine if it's your daughter, the man just went away 2 days, 3 days, slept at home, 40 days, she's living. Can she manage? Can she cope? So when you understand, you don't cause any pain, you don't cause any problem. I know I had to go for one janaza namaz. So, all cars were all parked, all upside down. So that picture is still in my mind, that non-Muslim is coming down his driveway, and he sees his whole driveway is blocked up. I can see the anguish on his face, and he's saying, but so inconsiderate. That was the word that came out of his tongue. So inconsiderate. I ask you, are we doing da'wah there? Are we bringing people towards Islam? Bashiru wala tu nafiru. Are we on the Bashiru side or the Nafiru side? What are we? See this consideration. It's small little things, but consideration. So now that person, if he marries your daughter, you feel very considered. He'll give her a good life. She'll be comfortable. Otherwise, you can't trust me, you can't rely on this. Then the Sahaba Kiram had it like this. They had the heart to come and report. Not to only report the good things, I said I had a good dream. You know, I need all my qazas. So there is one woman, her name was Salma, if I remember right. So she was the midwife, wet nurse or midwife for Khadija Raja's children, Fatima, etc. She was a midwife. Then she was a midwife again for Ibrahim, the last child. So they got them married. Can't describe the name, Rabi, whatever. They got them married. Now, she came to complain to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that the husband hit me. So the husband was called, said, why did you hit your wife? Now she is troubling me. So the wife was asked again, why are you troubling her? Why are you troubling him? Now, all I did was, he was in namaz, and he broke in namaz. So I told him that this breaks your namaz. So the Bishop also smiled. He couldn't hold a laugh. See. So I told him this much. And he became very, very angry at this. So he started hitting me. Why are you disturbing me? Why are you troubling me? So the reason to explain that, see, she told you something good and right. Something good and right was accepted, then throwing it. But now you never, you don't hear the hadith after that. Ghar ki baatein ko bahar kyu le gaye? Ask anybody, Maulana, no Maulana, Qari sahab, Hafiz sahab, Mufti sahab, Mujjis sahab, whoever. If this story happened, and the story was taken to the Sheikh, the wife brought it, heard your story, heard his story, said, now what Hazrat will think of me now, for the rest of my life, I'm born, I'm finished, khalas. So just kept it there. He told me, I'm a man, he could have protected me there. Or someone else could show the masla. It had been ended there, now I have to bring it to him. He says, no, what do you think of me? See, your thinking, compare your reasoning to their reasoning. So our sunnah is that things that is of convenience. Things of convenience. Kurta, convenience. Zulfa, convenience. But this type of correcting ourselves, do we ever take out the time? Do we ever think about, no, this thing must be corrected? She complained, he gave his story, she gave her story, and the things cleared out. No problem. Why? Ghar ki baat, talk of the home. Why must he leave the home? See? The discussion, the fight, or the misunderstanding of the home, it's supposed to be like this. Huh? Come from close. Why? To keep correcting. Do jaane ki kya zarurat hai? Come close. This is I was going to Cape Town somewhere, Marisburg, but come close. But you see this? I don't need to discuss this thing, but now, why was the need to discuss it? There's so much of, people have become so disorderly. They don't think, no consideration. And as a result then, other people suffer. Al-Muslimu man salim al-Muslimu. As you are growing, as you are progressing in age, then you need to become even more responsible. And we got married, right? And my father used to explain to us, some things will be permissible. But now that you're married, you get a child, right? So some permissible things also you should leave out. Like for example, you mentioned, I have to apply the whole usul. I have to apply the usul. One more hour I was here. So he said, no, my children, they're very, very ill-mannered. So I asked him, what's the child's age? 5 years. So what was the ill manner that you saw? So no, I had all guests, my all Morana friends that came for a meal. And food was ready. So I told my father, Abba, chows are ready. Chows are ready. You know how hurt I felt in front of all the Morana friends. And this child is saying, chows are ready. So I told him, see, I don't think it's the child's fault. I can't say categorically, but I said, I don't think that it's the child's fault. So why? The child is using this type of words in front of my respected ulama. It's not acceptable. So let him see, perhaps you use this word somewhere in the house. You use the word child, right? So when you use the word, that child, what he felt, the child felt, that my Abba can't be wrong. He's an example. Use the word, so that word must be right. So if he could use it, why can't I use it? Yeah, I used it once. It was good of him to say, no, I used that thing once. The child picked it up. When he picked it up, he used what he saw his father doing. What he saw his father doing, he did that. You see, so that the long-reaching effect. I say, you know, aajkal ke bachche unke andar koi adab nahi hai. But aapke andar bhi adab tha kya? Do you have any adab? You didn't have adab, that thing rub into your children. Now when it's rubbing into your children, say, unke andar koi adab nahi hai. I must eat them. I must correct them. So this disciplining of the mind, that's very important. It was that one time I used to say, like kutub banna ho, abdal banna ho, kahin aur chale jao. Aadmi banna ho to humare jao. When I become a man, come here. When I'm put in the escalate stages and all that, go elsewhere. But when I become a man, you come here. And I see how important it is. Man is a kutub, right? But he's and he's hard also. The man is not a kutub, but he's got some taqwa. He does his faraiz, he's practicing the sunnah, and he's very considerate, very kind. Both of them come for your daughter. Who will give? Think to yourself. Apply yourself and think. Who will give? So this is what he's saying. Aadmi ban nao. You have learned to become a man. Come here. You want to become a kutub or something? Go elsewhere. So understanding is all warped. When the understanding is warped, they don't realize what happens. This is basic adab. And the importance of applying this basic adab. How to talk to people, when to talk, how to talk, what to say, what not to say. Sometimes it happens that an elder said something, it is his place to say it. Right? He says it's alright. Like Hazrat is correcting the new person. Correcting the old person, right? He's correcting. And the whole gathering is correcting. Right. So that's his place. In his place, he's correcting. That person doesn't feel hurt. Why? He understands I came for my correction. When I came for my correction, he is giving me my correction, he's giving me my guidance. Now for every person that comes, whether it has to now take him with a quiet khalwat mein jaakar ke usko sunaye, that's a 12 baj jayenge, right? You can't manage that. And in the meanwhile, these people won't understand that this is the right behavior, not right behavior. How will they understand? A wrong is done. It's done in the open. It is to be corrected in the open. It's done in quiet. They're corrected in the quiet. But it's done openly. Now go and correct that thing. Otherwise, these people run away with the idea that this behavior is acceptable. It's a norm. He has to correct it. See this thinking process. Azmoor Zafar Sahib, rahmatullahi alayhi, his taluk was with Azmoor Saharanpuri Sahib, rahmatullahi alayhi. So he's going for Hajj and he sees Hazrat Hadi Sahib, rahmatullahi alayhi, in his dream. So he says, Hadi Sahib, rahmatullahi alayhi, dua karo ke main sahib e nisbat ban jao. My taluk with Allah Ta'ala is right. So Hazrat Hadi Sahib says, aapko nisbat to hasil hai, you've got the nisbat. باقی اپنے ماموں کے پاس جا کر کے اخلاق سیکھو. Go and learn اخلاق by your uncle, your mama ji. Mama ji has more time, sabr and tali. So, Hazrat would say, دیکھو, میں زندوں میں تو بدنام ہوں, لیکن البتہ مردوں میں بھی بدنام ہوں. I got a reputation for all these type of things amongst the living. But the reputation is there also. Above also, people have same thought about this. But now the importance of it, these things come about. When these things come about, see, there's just one, two persons in the world, then you have smaller problem. But now the numbers are swelling, they're growing. Right? The numbers are swelling, then you have complications, and you correct it. You got 3-4 musallis coming to the masjid, you have small problems. But you got 100 musallis coming, 100 different mindset, backgrounds, right? Now you get more complications. Or 3-4 people are coming from one home to correct them was right. Why? Because one home, one order. But 100 people from 100 different homes, you know, they're coming in, they don't know. Or someone is in the wudu khana and is giving it, shouting, right? But that whole, that sound is filtering to the masjid. Or somebody is in the wudu khana, right? And he picks up his backside, he's giving one hard one, loud one. So that whole sound is coming to the masjid, right? It's understand. Right? Or it doesn't have to be, it has to be like in the precincts of the masjid. Precincts doesn't have to be within the masjid, outside the masjid. And outside the masjid, he's smoking. Just outside the masjid, he's smoking, right? And then that end of the cigarette, right? Just leave it outside there and you go on from the masjid. Now, someone will have to come and clean the thing up, isn't it? If someone did that to you in your home, in your garden, in your home, right? Then won't you have to pick it up and throw it, won't you? But you see, it's inconsideration. No consideration. If it looks there, it's unsightly. When it's unsightly, someone will have to pick up my dirt. Why must I dirty the place? Why must I dirty the place? Someone else will have to come and clean it up. If he's been considerate, he won't do this thing. But now, we're not considerate, right? Now, you come into the masjid, and you've got a phone, right? And the ethic of, I told Mawli Bilal, no phone. Absolutely no phone. You don't know the limits. One person, I know my limits. Alright, then one person says he knows his limits. Next person thinks, alright, he's got a phone, why can't I keep a phone? Can there be control? Can we no control? So now, the best thing, right? No phone. So that's why now, see, saddan is zarai. Everywhere, in the whole world applies it. What? Saddan is zarai, closing the doors to sin. The whole world applies it. Yeah? You see, observe the traffic laws, right? Now you're traveling at about 1 o'clock in the morning, absolutely no car, no right, left. But I ask you, if you shoot the robot, will it be a traffic, an offense or not? Why? Sadhan is the right. You know, if you allow this, everybody is going to be using the discretion, then the discretion doesn't have to be right. It's not going to be right, and it's going to be an accident. So it becomes a law now, right? Don't do this thing. Don't you think that I am exempt to the law. I was just reading the halat of, you know, Ziaul Haq was the Prime Minister of Pakistan. What a Prime Minister that brought some Islamic ethos. How much he could eat. But as he's coming to the custom, right? So, obviously, you've got a diplomatic indemnity, right? English is very big words. Diplomatic indemnity. You don't have to go for the whole check, right? But you will tell them at the custom, you see my stuffs, see if anything is not right, and remove it and tell them. But now that sent a whole message to the whole government workers, yeah, that nobody is above the law. Even the Prime Minister, he subjects himself. The Prime Minister, he subjects himself to the law, and why mustn't I subject myself? See that? The Prime Minister is subjecting himself to law, then why mustn't I subject myself? See, it's a little bit, so there's so much of good, so much of relief. But the thinking must come right. I'm talking about the phone and the problem that it creates. One person has got it, then I must have it also. If he can use it, why can't I use it? Now that thing is going, the thing is ringing in the masjid, namaz time. So someone is disturbed. Sometimes the whole masjid is disturbed. Sometimes if you are near the mic, the thing is going to all the hundreds of homes. And it's a musical tone, then zulumatum ba'dwa fuqa ba'd. Zulumatum ba'dwa fuqa ba'd. Wrong over wrong. And then, think again now. When I had that thing, now, people were focused towards Allah Ta'ala. Did I distract them from Allah Ta'ala? Did I turn them away from Allah Ta'ala? So, who can be worse than the person that turns? Man azlamu mimman mana'a. Can there be a person worse than the person that turns people away from Allah Ta'ala, from his prayer, from his worship, etc.? But you're turning people away, can there be a person worse than that? Man azlamu mimman mana'a. Well, that is for the person who is considered. And the consideration comes when you are learning all these concepts. Right? A small sitting in the khanqa, but you learned all the concepts. You know, I must learn this thing and understand it well. Now you talk about it today, 10 years later you talk about it, but that thing doesn't go. Now how you get your akhlaq right? How you get your mannerisms right? Yeah. The akhlaq is so great that the least that akhlaq requires of you is no person must be inconvenienced, not spiritually, not emotionally, not physically. He mustn't be inconvenienced because of you. The way you talk, the way you conduct yourself, no person must be inconvenienced. But that requires you to think. I got the phone on. I'm talking to you, I'm looking at my phone. How do you feel? Do you feel nice? I'm talking to an elder or to a friend, but I'm looking at my phone. Right? How do I feel? So these matters of not being considerate, right? A doctor is in his room, he's busy with the patient. A phone comes. How are you, Dr. Saab? What do you have for meals yesterday? Party was an excellent day, but we didn't see you at the bride. Sometimes the doctor is over-considerate, he won't tell him anything. But he knows that it's not the right thing. I'm busy with the patient now, and it's important work I'm doing with him, and you're talking about all these type of stories here. He's in consideration. To get that akhlaq right, you have to learn how to be considerate. Otherwise, you're not going to get that akhlaq right. And then, the hadith in Bukhari Sharif, لَيَبْلُغُ بِهِ دَرَجَةَ الْقَائِمِ الصَّائِمِ صَاحِبُ الْأَخْلَاقِ, person with good akhlaq. His maqam is the person, like the person that's fasting all the time and standing up for tahajjud all the time. But that is akhlaq. And akhlaq is consideration. And consideration requires thought. So as you are thoughtful, you are thinking, you won't hurt anybody. Nobody is hurt in your presence. Nobody is affected emotionally, psychologically. Nobody is affected. So all that comes, that revolves around this thing here. Do you think, or are you impulsive, something spontaneous, and I just did it? See this, how important it is. How does it affect our lives? I started all this, أَلَا تَصُفُّونَ كَمَا تَصُفُّونَ الْمَلَائِكَةُ عِنْدَ رَبِّي. Won't you arrange yourself? You know, I said, when you're sitting now, how you sit? Arrange yourself properly. First the first serve, then the second serve. Get the serve right. You're sitting orderly, but sitting in order also, it impacts on the speaker. See, it'll be well, how they're sitting. The speaker also feels right. I come in for a Jummah, and you grab this place near the wall, that's right, right in the back there. Whereas you are young, you are healthy, you are strong, what does I need to sit there? You see everybody sitting on row in the rows, then sit orderly, sit with respect. So this Safati Safan can refer to the Malaika also, can refer to the Mujahideen as well. So the Malaika was Safati Safan Zajirati Zajran. So there are greater chances when you are well arranged to repulse the shaitanic influences. See, I spoke about jihad. And when they're together, then you are together, right? What happens? And you are all scattered, what happens? Fazad jihad is in. See, you are repelling all the shaitanic influences. Malaika are there. Fazad jihad is in. They've taken the position. Malaika guarding the skies, right? So if any shaitan tries to access, a missile just gets him straight, shoots him down. فَأَتْبَعُهُ شِهَابٌ سَاقِبٌ. Missile just pursues him and finishes him up. So that is when you're well arranged. When you're well arranged, then the wrong forces, evil forces, influences, they all are repelled. Yeah? That's why the hadith says also, فَإِنَّ الزِّئْبَ, the wolf, what does it take? It takes the sheep that has been scattered. All the and the herd and the sheep, that wolf doesn't take a chance. Fox doesn't take a chance. But that one that has moved out, see, so to remain together, how important it is. Now, to move out, even in your thought to move out, in your behavior, in your thought, everything, you moved out from the circle, you moved out from the whole system. When you moved out from the system, then how easy it is for shaitan to attack you. You become a prey. You moved out from the system. Imagine the children are coming to class, right? And they're doing the work diligently. One child says, yeah, I know all this. So he comes, he doesn't come. Isn't he going to be a subject to his nafs and shaitan? He follows the system, although he knows it, but he's following the system. Inshallah, there'll be good out of it. Apart from everything else, he'll learn humility. That although I'm excelling, right, but I need to understand that it is not just brains, it is behavior. And the essence of behavior is humility. I'll come, I'll sit, I'll be normal, and it will show, it will portray my behavior. And the behavior will make people relax and comfortable. But now I say, this child is coming to class, but he's not coming to class. What happened? So what happens to the mind of the teacher? Teacher's mind is not at ease. He was coming regularly, but he's not coming now. What happened to him? You see this consideration, we talk of consideration, and they would say, nibahna pare, what? Nibahna. You start off a relation, then you have to maintain it. You have to maintain it. You don't just abandon the relationship. Now, you start off the relationship, now maintain it. What requires to maintain? What does it require to maintain? You were a bachelor, alright, but there was no responsibility. Now you got into a marriage, what's required to maintain the relationship? Alright, there was an accident, something happened here, there, no? Sort it out now, and now, see like this, I told you about Salma and husband, she's coming to complain. She says, no, I want a separation now. Separation, I can't manage this person. Come, sort the thing out, and live nicely. Even in the plane nowadays they say, Ambagashle. Right. Thought scenes, Ambagashle, have a good journey, all they say. Right. You also understand that you must be well, be comfortable. Enjoy that. But now, to enjoy, there is a certain procedure. Discuss it, understand, and move on. But now, small things happen here, not there. I can't manage this, too much, man. But do you apply the same thing in other matters, right? You're going to this shop here, and they're selling you that same bread, Sasco bread, say they're selling 10 rand. And that shop is selling 20 rand. But now you had a fight here, 1-2 days maybe you go buy for 20 rand. After that, you know that it's heavy on the pocket. What do you say that? So the financial loss we can understand. But now the dini loss, so I had a fall out, I had, so I can't manage this. See, our thinking is only for material. The material loss, we count it as a loss. Dini loss, we don't count it as a loss. Material gain, we count it as a gain. And dini gain, we don't count it as a gain. So everything is just material, figurative. So one is that malaika, right? One is the mujahideen. That are well arranged. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الَّذِينَ يُقَاتِلُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ صَفًّا. The mujahideen. So when you are well arranged, then you can repulse the enemy. Well arranged, took your positions, right? In Uhud, that's a lesson that you learn, right? Amongst other lessons, one lesson that you learn is this thing here. That you well arrange, keep to your positions. Keep to your positions, be well arranged. Don't you learn that? You'll repel the other. You'll repel the enemy. But you didn't keep to your position. How then? They can penetrate, they can break you. See that I saw that wolf, it will devour the sheep that has drifted away. Same happens to you. You must just drift when you go. And Shaitan will know there's a need. I want a taqaza, taqaza will come. But gradually, you have to make a taqaza. You have to create a taqaza to appease your mental conscience. What? Well, I had a genuine taqaza, so therefore, I had to make this adjustment. I mean, that's why I had a genuine taqaza. So first it will be a genuine taqaza, then you have to make a taqaza. Then the third step, then you become a victim of shaitan. See, this is what the Quran says, man la shaykh lahu, shaykh wa shaitan, Shaitan becomes a sheikh and mentor. What do they mean? Because before, what was happening is he would refer, relate, understand, correct himself. But now he either abandons the relationship, or he doesn't have a relationship. He abandons it originally. That means he's not keeping it like how he's supposed to be keeping it, or he doesn't have a relationship at all. Now then, who's going to be his mentor from this point onwards? Shaitan, I was saying a story how Shaitan comes in. The peacock is running, this whole street is running, right? So that looks, the family was explaining, it looks so nice, by the way. PN came, uske paanch bachche ke saath aaye, as it is a proud animal, right, that he came with all his whole lashkar, he came parading, gallivanting the whole garden. All the women are looking. I was the mother, so they tell me the story. And as she's proudly with the whole litter, one cat had to come from the wild, just grab one. He decided to chase that thing, but they're too slow. That thing was gone. Right? But that's the example. What I learned from that is here. As you are growing up, right, you're growing up, don't become oblivious of the presence of nafs and shaitan. You think, I'm oblivious. And I won't be attacked. But still, that one chick that was a little bit away, the cat found it most convenient to just grab the thing and run away. And nobody could catch the thing. So same as you in the company, right? There's some security. But you move a little bit then, the shaitan is there, nafs is there. And they can pounce on you with such speed they can come on to you, that you can't defend yourself. Then the next day, I was just walking around, I saw that in his body. That chick, I saw that body. I was going on class. See, sometimes the chance that you get in life is just once. You don't get a second chance. One chance and the last chance. Like life is one chance and it's the last chance. You don't get a repeat. You think, I'll do it after the last chance. You don't act straight away sometimes, then sometimes there's no second chance. And sometimes it is a reminder came and you didn't take heed. Go on, class. Sometimes you lose the opportunity complete. Absolutely. I was looking at the kitab. Bayt al-Muqaddas was built, right? So, the architect has an impression on how he wants to design it, right? He's got an impression. So now, when the Bayt al-Muqaddas is being, this whole hadith came about, when in Medina Munawwara, the population had swelled, right? And when the population had swelled, so now there was a need for the masjid to be extended. Like here, the numbers had grown, so the masjid had to be expanded, right? Extended. So now for the masjid to be extended, now someone's house is this side, someone's house is that side, so the houses were purchased. Came to the house of Abbas Ziyanuma. Abbas says, I'm not rich, I'm not ready to sell. Khilafat of Muradiyalan is getting upset that this thing is upsetting the whole process. It's a masjid and upsetting the whole process. He's a Khalifa and there's a need to extend the masjid. There's no aesthetics, nothing about the beauty, it's just about the extension. And it's a valid reason. The population has fell. And Abbas Diyan has been not selling. Umar Diyan is getting upset. He's doubling the price, Abbas saying no. Alright, then there must be someone that will preside over this case. I say no, your house must be purchased. You say no, I can't sell the house. So I appoint Ubay ibn Ka'b, let's see what he has to say. So now he is the arbiter, he is the judge going to preside over the case. You see, Umar is the Khalifa. So upon the defendant is Hazrat Abbas, the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but they also subject themselves to the third person. And then the story is carried till now. Nobody says, Hashid, to talk about it. What will people talk about Umar radiallahu anhu? We talk about it. And we feel so great about it to find a direction. Anyway, all this happened. So this whole case is presented before Hazrat Ubay ibn Ka'b. He's going to preside over the case. So Ubay ibn Ka'b radiallahu anhu says, when the Baitul Muqaddas was being built, so I don't know if it was Dawud al-Islam that started it off and then moved on to Sulaiman al-Islam, or Sulaiman al-Islam that started it off. I can't remember that. So it's being built now, and there's a need to extend, and someone's house is coming. And now they wanted to forcefully take that plot and bring it into the masjid. So now the aesthetics of the masjid now. Say for example, the aesthetic means one side you can extend, right? And the other side you can't extend, because that house is coming in between. So the serfs will be right. Serfs won't be right. So now the thing is carrying on. So the Nabi, I can't remember who it was, Sulaiman Islam or Dawud al-Islam, he was thinking, I need to put this thing away for the person. So Allah Ta'ala corrected him. You don't use any property, any person's property, forcefully into my house. Don't take anybody's property by force and enter it to my house. I don't want that. My house, I want everything to be clear. Anything comes in, comes fairly, correctly, clearly, cheerfully. Not by force. Right. Then the second thing, you're not seeing a chance, opportunity. See, now you try to force this, now you won't have the honor of completing the masjid. So, Allah gave him the honor, and now it's removed. See, sometimes you get a chance, just once, and there's no repeat. Now you won't have a chance to build, to complete the masjid. So he made, alright, at least my son must do it. Alright, we'll pass the whole honor to your son, but you won't do it now. It just reminds me, when in the Fath of Makkah, conquest of Makkah Mukarramah, and one of the banners of the Ansar was supported by Sa'd ibn Ubadah radiallahu anhu. And it came out of his tongue, Al-Yawm, Yawmul Malhama. Today, there will be blood flowing here. If I complain, at least I took the flag away. He could have had the honor of being the bearer of the banner as they march into Makkah Mukarramah, but now it's taken away from him, passed on to his son. See? So sometimes an opportunity comes once in a lifetime, and you're not appreciative, you're not considerate, that it goes, it's gone, khalas. Then you can't get it again. So this gift of Allah Ta'ala, Inna lillahi altafan khafiyya. Allah فَتَعَرَّدُوا لَهَا. Just be careful, considerate. Don't over ignore it. In any way, don't ignore it. You ignore the thing, that thing goes now. For you to get back, it's like impossible. So this small gift, big gift of Allah Ta'ala, don't. So we're talking about this, what? وَصَّفَّاتِ صَفَّاً وَزَّاجِرَاتِ زَجْرًا. فَالتَّالِيَاتِ ذِكَرٌ. And in that now, the well-arranged, the repelling the shaitans, and فَالتَّالِيَاتِ ذِكَرٌ, they're not idle, they're engaged in the remembrance of Allah. وَالصَّفَّاتِ صَفَّنْ فَالزَّاجِرَاتِ زَجَرٌ فَالتَّالِيَاتِ ذِكَرٌ. See that? So, you can refer to the malaika, you can refer to the mujahideen, it can refer to the musallis. It can refer to the musallis as well. أَلَا تَصُفُّونَ كَمَا تَصُفُّ الْمَلَائِكَةُ تَرَاسُ. Now, what a pleasure it is when the Imam can say this again. تَرَاسُ تِمُّ الصُّفُّ الصَّفَّ الْأَوَّلِ. Now, the Imam can say it. Now, all the time he couldn't say it. But what a pleasure it brought that the Imam can say this word again. تَرَاسُ تِمُّ صُفُوفَكُمْ. Imam's suhoof in Imam's Salah. What a pleasure he must have brought to the whole environment. Right? But it also shows, together with being well arranged, now, one shows how to arrange yourself in a masjid. You come and complete the role. As-saf fal-awwal fal-awwal. You don't just sit anywhere. Your namaz is going to be valid. We will not say that namaz won't be valid. Wherever you have been seated, the namaz is going to be valid. Right? You come, it's not my dada's house, it's my father's house. It's Allah Bak's house. So you sit like a servant, like a slave in the house of Allah Ta'ala, how Allah Bak wants you to sit. Just come and sit, no, I got a place, I grab a place, there, side the chair, nobody. As-saf fal-awwal fal-awwal. Complete the first serve, then the second serve, then the third serve. Sometimes, convenient, you just took a spot on the side that was closest to the door. I say, I'm showing the respect to the house of Allah Ta'ala. What he wants. As-saf fal-awwal fal-awwal. First, complete the first row, second row. Now, Allah Pak sees this, Allah Pak gets so happy. See, my house, and what respect this person is showing. Otherwise, hey, what he thinks of my house? What he thinks of my house? He can just sit in any house. See what will happen. How this is going to be received. See, this person came. مَا كَانَ لَهُمْ أَنْ يَدْخُلُوهَا إِلَّا خَائِفِينَ. They come with concern, with fikr, with khawf. They don't come like grandfather's house here, yeah? Father's house. No, not like that. مَا كَانَ لَهُمْ أَنْ يَدْخُلُوهَا إِلَّا خَائِفِينَ. Coming with fikr. Worry, the concern they come in. When they're coming with the concern, they're coming with the understanding whose house they're coming to. And then, how does Allah expect us to sit? Now, that person got all these things. Safati Safman, Zajir, they're chasing, also repulsing. Fataliyati Zikra, and they have got the consciousness, the awareness of the remembrance of Allah at heart, on their lips. Now, can they slip? It's difficult for them to slip. Number two is this, also, that as they come in, they all engage, right? They engage in the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. When they engage in the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala all the time, from the time they sat there, then isn't that a greater occasion or greater opportunity for them to receive? Hamare samne sar jhukaye hue baithe, lowering themselves, humility, how they sat down here. And I must bless them. What Allah Pak says that? They sat with such humility, with such respect. They understand it's my house that they've entered. They came so gracefully and respectfully. They sat down well arranged. So much of adab. So, mustn't I bless them? So Allah Ta'ala also will bless them. So this thing happens everywhere, anywhere and everywhere. You imagine, you consult, right? Clients are coming to consult with you. But now one client is making a noise there, is being unruly, is not behaving himself, right? And they need your service. Right? And others are sitting so humbly, softly, quietly, respectfully. You're watching the whole drama what's going on here. Who will you want to prefer? That person is unruly, not behaved, and is causing a commotion there. Or that person is sitting down well, respectful, understanding, very dignified. Who you want to give preference to? See, Iskume Kehra, that's what I'm saying. Humne sochna band kar diya. We left our thinking. We are thinking. And the thinking is now, no, I am this person here, so I need to be treated in this way. I am this person, so I need to be treated in this way. We are talking about Umar radiallahu anhu. Now look at it. Look at the whole story is recorded in the Tabaqat ibn Sa'd is recorded there. So, but Umar radiallahu anhu, when he heard the decision of Ubay ibn Ka'b, radiallahu anhu, said, no, hey, now this is pushing me even more backwards. You supporting Abbas radiallahu anhu. Give me someone, call someone who can support what you are saying. And Umar, that was his style. If it is a hadith that is not in vogue, then you must support it. Even if the Sahabi that is supporting it, then you must get a second person to support what you say. So give me someone, show me someone that will support this. Ubay ibn Ka'b is getting a bit gabrat now. Who's going to be the person that's going to be supporting what I say? So they saw a majma, a whole gathering of Sahaba kiram. Anybody that heard the hadith of the Bayt al-Muqaddas and Hazrat Sulaiman or Dawud alayhi salam, right, and how it happened and all that. So Abu Dharr Ghifari stood up and said, no, I heard this personally. Now all that happened, everything finished. So the decision was given in favor of Hazrat Abbas Diyar. Now Abbas Diyar says, alright, now from my side, I'm giving this away to the masjid. We see the fair play. Fair play, easy, clear, no grievance. That. And I said, I just explained that Salma story. Ghar ki baat ko bahar kyun le gaye? See, our brains. That's naive thinking. And there it was a common thing, alright. This mistake happened here. He did this, it was brought and cleared once and all. So it was cleared, complete class. Now the greater concern is my reputation. The lesser, no consideration to the maslah. Reputation is the problem, and the maslah is a secondary thing. What do people think of me? These people, they all they follow me, they hold me in esteem and respect. What they'll think of me? Umar could have said the same thing. I'm the Khalifa, right? And I'm proved wrong. The whole public, what they'll think of me? Couldn't he have said the same thing? The whole public would have, what impression they would have had of me? He would have had the same type of feeling. But he didn't go in that line. No, this is right, I must go with it. The decision, it's yours. See that they're taught how it goes. In the same, with the stories, another story of Umar ibn Abbas Diyama, both about the masjid, same thing. And Umar had a ghusl on a Friday, put on good clothes like how it is normal, like attar, etc., coming to the masjid. Just then, it's difficult for us to understand because we didn't see India in those days. Right? So one gutter, someone spotted one chicken, and the blood and all the waste, all that was coming down. And that thing had to fall on Umar radiallahu anhu. He got upset. Hey, go for the Jummah now. What has happened here? Go for Jummah. What has happened here? So in the state of upsetness, he pulled that gutter down. He's upset now. It happened to be the house of Abbas radiallahu, same thing. So now look at Abbas' response. It's alright, you did it, he's the Amir. I mean, it's got certain powers. But this gutter, the downpipe, was placed by Rasulullah Pasan himself. See, now, Umar is not worried about reputation, name, or what people think of me. I got nothing. Hey, I got shouted in front of everybody here. So, I'm nothing now. See the response. See, that's what I'm saying. The respect now is for the person, not for the deen. But the respect, returning the whole respect for the person, not for the deen. The moment Umar heard that this downpipe was placed by Rasulullah Pasan himself, he straight away he bent down as though in a coup position or whatever, and he insisted, said, take a qasam, you must get up onto my shoulders and put this thing right. See that immediate response. He was upset at that moment, but then when he understood this thing, he said, hey, straight away. But you see, we have this image, this ego. You ever say that hubbu jah? That thing doesn't leave you like that. We think, no, I don't have it. Just wait for the situation and see. You got that thing. But you are in denial. Now how to fix you up? So he's in drugs, but he's in denial. Can you fix him up? He's in drugs. Right. No, I got a prescription from the doctor. And you keep taking the thing. So then you get doctors coming here, say, they bring prescriptions of ecstasy, they take the thing. We're forced to give it. Thomas says, we're forced to give it. Right. And what do we do? So, you got a reason to appease yourself. What? Outwardly, you can appease yourself. But I was asking you, the person that is doing that, is he damaging himself or is he correcting himself? Or on their side, was a deen comes first, respect for deen, then us. And now, me, see, I was singled out. I was shouted in front of everybody now. Now what people think about me? So the issues are mixed up. That's a type of shirk. You're mixing up the issues. La lillahi deen al-khalis. Pure deen belongs to Allah Ta'ala. So now that respect belongs to me as well. So why I was dishonored? Why I was disrespected? Why I was shouted? So you see all these webs that come up. The khanka comes here to clear all those webs. But all those webs, the mind, mental, etc., it comes to clear up all the webs. Otherwise, the mind is not cleared of the webs. You got the thing, but either you don't understand, or you're complicating things. You'll be understanding it, but you're complicating things. You're getting into that mesh. And you're meshed now, enmeshed. Now, to get out of it, it's easy. It's very difficult. So you see this, we started off what? وَالصَّفَاتِ صَفًّا وَالزَّاجِرَاتِ زَجْرًا فَالتَّالِيَاتِ ذِكْرًا. And then Allah Pak says, إِنَّ إِلَهُكُمْ إِلَهُ وَاحِدٌ. So that what he's telling you, when you're going to be in an orderly manner, right, behaving like how you're supposed to be behaving, following the system, then will you be able to appreciate the beauty of Tawheed. إِنَّ إِلَهُكُمْ إِلَهُ وَاحِدٌ. And your mind is not right, coming for a purpose, but your mind is not right, then you will not enjoy the sweetness of Iman. You will not enjoy the sweetness of Tawheed. You will not enjoy it. You will hear the talk, but that sweetness, the real sweetness, you don't get it. See that? وَالصَّافَاتِ صَفًّا وَالزَّاجِرَاتِ زَجْرًا وَالتَّالِيَاتِ ذِكْرًا إِنَّ إِلَهَكُمْ إِلَهُ وَاحِدٌ. Allah Tawheed.